Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader. This is Beyond the Darkness. And over at the Supernatural News Desk, Mr. Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
How are you today, sir?
I'm doing all right.
Ready for a fun weekend?
I am, actually. Yes, I am.
I personally am out on the Walker Stalker Cruise, the final Walking Dead cruise. And I'm super pumped getting a chance to meet some of my favorite celebrities from the show. You know, it's funny, though. I'm going on this cruise. One of the biggest draws for me to join the cruise and be one of the performers, aside from getting paid, was the fact that David Morrissey, the governor, is on board.
Mm-hmm.
And he played Doctor Who in one episode of Doctor Who. And I loved it. It was one of my favorite episodes. So I'm psyched to get to meet David Morrissey. I get to get a picture with him. Our buddy Kitsy's helping me swing that. So, I'm pretty jazzed about that. The nerd in me is riding high this weekend.
Ah, very cool. The snow surfer in me is riding very high this weekend as we've been deluged.
Yes. Yeah. I got out of town. Funny thing, right? I was supposed to leave on Wednesday. And we got alerted Tuesday morning. That's how far in advance they knew the snowpocalypse was coming to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So Tuesday morning, we get an alert. All hell's going to break loose tomorrow. My wife and I scramble to get everything done we could. And we called the airline. They're like, all right, we'll switch you over without a charge because of the bad weather and get you out today. So I had to go on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. And, you know, oh, poor Dave, he has to fly to Florida, poor guy. But it was just like such a scramble to get everything done. So I've been out here having a little fun, and then we're off on the cruise, and I'll be back on Monday. We'll be back with a brand new True Crime Tuesday on Tuesday. That's how I roll, Tim.
Yeah. Well, darn near a foot of snow is what you missed. So
foot of snow?
Yeah.
You're wrong. I don't miss it at all.
Yeah, it's... We closed her down to one runway. I can barely say it.
They're closed down to one runway at the airport?
One runway, yeah.
That's a good thing I got out of there when I did.
Yeah.
I'd have missed that damn cruise altogether.
Yep. But we shut her down. We shut down the whole darn state. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this time when we closed schools, it was for a good reason?
Yes, it was for a good reason, not just because kids aren't tough these days. So.
All right. Yeah. Let's get rolling. We've got some stories to share, some news, a lot of news stories today, and a couple of parashare stories, so we'll get to it. All right, Tim. This is kind of an interesting headline. Ghost ship's spooky SOS call before crew found dead with faces frozen.
Ooh.
In fear.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Yeah. Let me get into this. It says a spooky SOS call from on board a ship where the entire crew was found dead and frozen in fear has been revealed in a chilling secret memo as the maritime mystery continues to baffle the world. The world, Tim.
Uh-oh.
The entire crew of the SS Orang Medan I almost read it as our gang. It's the entire crew of the SS Orang Medan and its captain Spanky were found strewn around the ship with expressions of convulsive horror, but no obvious injuries that could have killed them. Before investigations could determine what happened, a fire broke out and the vessel sunk without a trace. Dude, this sounds like it's straight out of Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah, it does.
That's crazy. A secret CIA memo detailed the eerie, frenzied SOS call from on board. All officers, including Captain Dead, lying in chart room and on bridge. Probably whole crew dead, the call said. I'm looking at one of the photographs. It's ugh. Written by C.H. Mark Jr., assistant to the director of the CIA, Alan Dulles, in 1959, to an unknown recipient, the memo continues, there followed a series of indecipherable dots and dashes, and then came, quite clearly, I die.
Weird.
The document reveals that the agency believed the doomed boat could hold the key to a series of other disappearances in one of the world's busiest shipping lanes. It was penned years after the Dutch vessel is said to have sent a distress call in 1948 while sailing the Strait of Malacca, where Malaysian airline flight MH370 vanished in 2014. The distressing Morse code SOS call made by a signaler on board SS Orang Medan was heard by the crew of a nearby ship, the Silver Star. Rescue ships rushed to find the stricken vessel, finding her just 50 miles from the position given. But investigators found an eerie sight when they boarded, the memo continues. Oh boy, that is a big memo. It says, according to this, there wasn't a living creature on the ship, it said. The captain lay dead on the bridge. The bodies of the other officers sprawled in the wheelhouse, chart room, and wardrobe. Wardroom. The faithful Sparks was slumped in a chair in the radio shack, his hand still on sending key. The bodies of the crew lay everywhere, in the rooms, in the passageways, on the decks, and on all the dead faces was a look of convulsive horror. Referencing a report by Merchant Marine Counsel C.H. Mark Jr., added that their frozen faces were upturned to the sun with mouths open and staring eyes. The ship's dog, a small terrier, was also dead, with its teeth bared in anger or in agony. The boarding parties decided to tow the vessel to a port to continue investigations. But according to the memo, at that very moment, smoke and flames belched forth from the hold. They abandoned the ship, and there was an explosion before it sunk without a trace, with all the dead crew never to be seen again. Strangely, the Coast Guard didn't report it until 1954, 6 years after it sank. This is just bizarre. How is this a thing? Some question is, did it ever even exist? With no mention in the Lloyd's list of shipping and no record of the Silver Star attempting a rescue, conspiracy theorists question if several countries worked together to cover the mysterious incident up, while others believe a noxious gas bubbled up from the seabed. The secret CIA document released to the public in 2013 questioned whether an unknown entity was to blame. I feel sure that the SS Orang Medan holds the answers to many of those aeroplane accidents and unsolved mysteries of the sea, the author wrote, pondering the mysteries of the stretch of the sea home to many shipwrecks. That's got to be one of the more bizarre stories. I'd love to know more about this. I'll see if I can find a guest that can maybe get a little bit more in depth in it. But of course, if they're just going off of one CIA leaked document or released document, I don't know if there's much more to be told.
Yeah,
but that's a really compelling, crazy story.
Very crazy. Depending on the document, yeah, I don't know that there's much more to follow up on, but it's definitely an intriguing story. That's for sure.
All right. Where are we off to next?
Well, Dave, I hate to tell you I told you so, but I told you so. I mean, it's...
You son of a bitch.
I know.
Is it another...
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, right. It is, Dave. It's...
God damn AI.
Yeah, I know. It's that damn AI, Dave. It's... I only have one word other than I told you so, and that's I told you so, Dave. AI is now self-aware, and it's able to repair itself, Dave. You can shoot it, you can stab it, you could throw a bomb at it, you could put a grenade in its guts, it'll go off, and yet it'll still repair itself, Dave. Artificial intelligence is now self-aware following a historic breakthrough by Columbia University's Creative Machines Lab. Consciousness is a key to understanding what makes humans human, and in the 70 years since artificial intelligence first emerged as an academic pursuit, scientists have attempted to synthesize sentience. Now a Columbia University project has broken new ground in the search for artificial intelligence after building a self-aware robot arm. Columbia University scientists have built a robot arm capable of construct an image of itself from scratch, and this ability is framed as a significant step toward building truly self-aware machines.
Wait a minute, isn't this the whole idea of the Age of Ultron from the Avengers?
Yeah.
And the idea behind Alien Covenant, the AI has decided that not only can it repair itself, but it can start multiplying and make itself more important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doom, 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 doom.
Yeah.
Open the pod bay doors, Tim.
Yeah. See? All right. Columbia University scientists have built that robot arm capable of constructing an image of itself from scratch, and this ability is framed as a significant step towards building truly self-aware machines. Robert Kwiatkowski, a PhD student at Columbia University's prestigious Creative Machines Lab, has exclusively created the robot arm's AI capabilities. He said, "We have built a robot arm and we let it move around randomly to collect casual information in relation to itself. So it learns what happens to itself when it moves. And it uses this information to allow it to learn ideas about what it is and an awareness of self. The robot knows what happens to the arm when it does something. And what makes the robot arm project truly groundbreaking is how it can learn despite beginning with literally no assumptions about the world." Mr. Kwiatkowski said the robot at the start had absolutely no information about anything. It had no assumptions about physics, body structure, nothing. And the only information it receives is information from the world. We as programmers are trying to move away from a paradigm where programmers tell the robots who they are and how they work. Well, that's a little dangerous. We are moving towards a paradigm where the robots figure out what they are and how they work so they can streamline their efficiency and allow them a little bit of autonomy. And you know where it goes from there, Dave. After you give them a little bit of autonomy, then they take over. The Columbia University...
Doom, 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 doom.
I'm just saying.
Doom, 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 doom,
doom. Mm-hmm. The Columbia University Creative Machines Lab researchers were able to engineer the self-awareness by using deep learning, a fancier new iteration of machine learning. Machine learning is a system that adapts to new data and improves with access to new information. Deep learning, meanwhile, uses fancy linear algebra and matrix multiplications, stuff I never studied in school, to attempt to mimic how nerves operate in the brain. Mr. Kwiatkowski explains, it sounds like a last name that Elmer Fudd would really screw up bad. Kwiatkowski. Everything the robot arm does exactly parallels how the human body controls an arm and understands how this control works. And Mr. Kwiatkowski said, or who works on the project under legendary Columbia University robotics engineer Hod Libson, believes his robotic arm will have profound implications in the search for AI. He said, "Robots currently run on handcrafted human simulators, taking hours upon hours of trial and error and iterative developments to try and get them to work in a similar way to how a brain works, often using complex maths and programming. And we are aiming to do two things, accelerate improvements and allow the robot to build a model of itself using self-awareness as if modern encoded simulators have been used. If there's a robot out of reach or is in some way uncontactable, you need it to be capable of adapting a model of itself so it can continue to complete the task it was given. So if you have a robot that breaks, you want it to be able to figure out if the part is now broken and let me adapt how my body works and reassess how to solve the problem at hand." Yet despite playing a key role in the technological feat, Kwiatkowski is unsure whether imbuing robots with self-awareness in the true philosophical sense will be possible in our lifetimes. He says, "I'm not really sure We will see robot consciousness in our lifetime. Oh, give it time.
Oh, thank you, science. That Twinkies seem to be mine. A little bit closer.
Don't think so. As there are just too many moving parts that could prevent that from happening. Although Kwiatkowski, with his head firmly up his ass, has only imbued.
Wait a minute. Is that an official
it's
quote?
It's right here in the article. Yeah.
I have a hard time believing that, Tim.
Head firmly entrenched in his ass has only given robots the means in which to take over the world. And that's the end of the article. Yeah, that's right there at the end. Yeah.
So I don't believe that at all.
Yeah, it's right there.
You're saying that AI took over writing the rest of the article.
It did, yeah. And it finished the article with that little last part there. Yeah.
I don't think that's the case.
No, it's right there. It's right there in the article.
Yeah. I can almost taste the Twinkies, Tim.
Nope.
For those of you that don't understand, Tim and I have a long-standing bet. What's going to get us first? Is it the end of the world as we know it? Is it a zombie apocalypse? Or is it AI, the rise of AI? So, we'll just have to keep battling it out. But it just seems we just scored one in the good guys' camp. I think it is zombie apocalypse.
Because
your guy just said, not even in our lifetime will we see that kind of AI.
I don't know.
So, in the immortal words of one Vincent Barbarino, up your nose with a rubber hose.
Dave, ask those Amazon workers that are still writhing in pain from that robot attack how they feel about robots.
Hey,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Up in every new implementation.
Uh-huh.
Can't even say the word. Implementation of technology, Tim. It doesn't mean AI is trying to kill us. It just means that there are accidents that happen.
Well, that was no accident, my friend. That was blatant. Mm-hmm.
For our next story, we're going to Middletown, Virginia. The Wayside Inn in Middletown, Virginia is one of the oldest continuously operated inns in America. But that's not the inn's only claim to fame. It's reportedly home to some otherworldly beings as well. The inn's current owner, Becky Reeves, said she and her husband bought the inn about 5 years ago. I've become a real believer since we have the inn, she said, adding that she hasn't had a supernatural experience of her own yet. Over the years, the inn's previous owners have asked paranormal investigators like Clay Smith of Spirit Watch, who said he has recorded over 100 supernatural occurrences at the inn. Many have occurred in rooms 14 and 4, as well as in the basement-level dining room, which was formerly occupied by slaves. The room we're sitting in is probably the most active. It's called the Slaves' Quarters, or the Slaves' Kitchen, he said. Holding up a photograph, he continued, this image was captured actually through the window right behind me in 2001. If you look at it, it resembles the outline of possibly a soldier of some sort. Coincidentally, on the other side of this wall, in the original configuration of the inn, is where they stabled the horses. When his wife, who was a medium, was in the space, he says they recorded the sound of horses. Smith says he primarily tries to debunk claims of the supernatural, but in many instances at the inn, he simply can't, according to Reeves. While some occurrences are noticed by their human guests, more are experienced by animals. We're a pet-friendly hotel, and there have been times that a cat or dog was sensing something in the room, she said. She was looking up about chest high in the middle of the room and then just stopped. When they told us that story, they didn't know anything about the paranormal history or anything here. And I said, well, that's the room that's supposed to have a little girl's spirit in it. Both Smith and Reeves say there's no need to fear the spirits, as they're all just rather benign and friendly spirits like Casper or Tim. But the Wayside Inn is supposed to be very, very haunted. Yep. All right. Where are we off to next?
Well, we're headed off to Littlehampton. According to what this says, a Littlehampton landlady, who is also a paranormal investigator, has made a shocking discovery inside the pub's haunted nursery. Ellie Boiling is a paranormal investigator when she is not running the Dolphin Pub and Hotel in High Street, Littlehampton. She claimed she saw the ghost of a little girl with pigtails roaming the corridors of her pub, and she named her Little Dolly as an abbreviation of Dolphin. When TV medium Derek Cora visited her establishment in 2006 for the filming of his show Ghost Towns, he felt her presence too, Ellie said. According to Ellie, the most haunted presenter held out his hand and said he could feel a little girl holding it and that she had pigtails and died of something to do with her throat. 6 months later, a man came in with a carrier bag of photos who was the relative of a former owner of the pub, Ellie said. They had some children, one of whom died of diphtheria, a highly contagious infection that can affect the nose and throat. He showed her a photograph of the dead girl who had pigtails, and Ellie said it was Little Dolly. Her birth name was Ada Constance Parrish, the man said, but there was a twist to come. He took Ellie to Littlehampton Cemetery and to show her the girl's grave. On the tombstone, the inscription read, "Little Dolly," she said. Ellie said, "I was absolutely shocked, but I was pleased because it was like all the evidence was coming together." After this revelation, Ellie recruited a medium she knew to investigate room 7 of the hotel, which used to be a nursery. Her equipment was saying something was in the cupboard, which led to a crawl space behind one of the walls, so Ellie climbed to the back. There she discovered some shards of glass in a sack, and when she pieced together, they formed the negative of the photograph that Little Dolly's relative had shown her. She said,
"Get out of here."
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. People, or she said, people poo-poo the paranormal, but then all the evidence fits together like a jigsaw. "I was pleased that whatever was going on was a real person, and I feel very protective over her." Ellie also hosts psychic suppers and other supernatural events at the pub. There's a number here that you can contact for information. I'll throw it out there if you got a pen and paper, but it's a little complex. It's 019-03-715-789. There you go. There's also a contact for James Butler in here, too. But that's basically the story with that.
All right. Interesting, man, to have that kind of connection, no clue about any of the history, and then find a grave that says Little Dolly on it.
Yeah.
Find the photograph in an area that you're being directed to by a sensitive and its equipment. That's a good story. I like that one, Tim.
Yeah, it is.
All right. What was your we've got a brand new sponsors for the show.
We do, actually. If you're having some digestive troubles like I've had quite a bit of problems with acid reflux and some really bad issues with acid reflux. If you're going through weight gain, if you're going through some low energy and achy joints, I've been really dealing with bad issues with achy joints. And if you've been struggling with any of those or all of those, Dr. Stephen Gundry says you're not alone and he knows the real cause. And you know what? I was watching a video this past fall. And I was telling Dave about it. He was coming over to record here in the studio. And I said, "Hey, you got to watch this video by Dr. Stephen Gundry." And Dr. Gundry is one of the most famous and well-respected diet experts in the world. And he says that most of these problems aren't about your lack of exercise or even genetics, and that the real cause is leaky gut. Well, I started watching this video. It's about an hour long. And it all comes down to leaky gut. And it happening when you're eating certain foods that contain lectins, which are like tiny little particles that tear holes in your digestive tract. And I've heard of leaky gut before, and I thought it was kind of interesting. Now, these particles wreak havoc on your insides, and they cause poor digestion, fatigue, and achy joints and muscles, brain fog, and even worse health issues. And you may ask yourself, so what's the solution? Well, you just need to know a few foods to avoid, and Dr. Gundry's made this free video describing exactly what those foods are that you need to avoid. And like I said, I went through this video, I started watching it, and I started getting more and more intrigued. Now, people who have watched the video have reported getting more energy, smoother bowel movements, slimmer waistlines, and even a stronger, healthier body. And if you want to finally tackle that leaky gut, and I have, I've actually tackled that leaky gut, just watch the video, and you can do that by going to TotalRestore2.com. That's TotalRestore2.com, TotalRestore2, and that's the number 2.com. Now, I'll tell you, it's worth the time. Sit down, watch the video, and learn all about these lectins in leaky gut and how you can finally start to ease these symptoms. And I've done that. And I'm telling you, I'm feeling much better. And you can do it too.
Well, right. And you telling me about that. I mean, I've been dealing with bloat and, mm-hmm. and gas issues and just a constant upset stomach, no matter what I do for it. And conventional methods have not been working. That's why you were telling me to check this out and push for it. So I've just started. Hopefully I'm going to get the same kind of results you've been getting, but we'll keep you guys updated to this. It's anything I could do to get rid of this just overall feeling of gunk, I would deeply appreciate.
Yeah, so check out Dr. Gundry at TotalRestore2.com. So TotalRestore2, that's the number 2.com. Check out the video for yourselves and give Dr. Gundry a try. I'm telling you, I've been working with Dr. Gundry now since last fall, and it's eased my achiness, that acid reflux. I'll tell you, this is how scary it got, Dave. I was getting acid reflux so bad, I was waking up aspirating on my own vomit almost nightly. So, and I'm not doing that anymore. So, and I'm telling you, these little lectins are really the key. So check out the video for yourself.
Will do. All right. We talked about a mystery about a ship that was afloat with an entire crew that was dead on board, which is really weird. Almost like they died where they stood. This story coming out through documents that were eventually released. Well, here's another kind of bizarre story, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
A mystery of an Egyptian pharaoh's mummified body destroyed in an ancient cover-up. The long-lost mummy of Pharaoh Akhenaten has never been found, and his empty tomb still remains untouched. The mystery surrounding the disappearance of an Egyptian pharaoh's mummified body may have been solved, according to this article. Experts taking part in Ancient Aliens documentary believes that Pharaoh Akhenaten's remains may have been deliberately moved or destroyed. They claim an ancient cover-up saw the mummy moved into a bid to stop people finding out about the life that he led. Swiss TV personality Giorgio Tsoukalos, who believes alien astronauts interacted with ancient humans, and said Italian archaeologist Alessandro Barsanti visited Amarna, Egypt, back in 1891. Mr. Barsanti had been on the hunt for the pharaoh Akhenaten's mummified body, but despite visiting the tomb, no evidence of the remains could ever be found. Now, in a clip from the latest episode from the show on the Blaze channel, I think, what is it, on History Channel here?
I believe so, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. The narrator poses the question, maybe he was never actually buried in his tomb, or was he removed? Akhenaten had a 17-year reign from 1353 BC to his death in 1370 BC, but his short reign was filled with controversy. He wanted to change everyone's understanding of religion, telling his subjects to worship just one god, the sun god, Aten, instead of many gods. The narrator of the episode added, imagine if the mummy of Akhenaten has never been found because it was deliberately hidden or destroyed to keep us from discovering its alien origins. Back in 2016, archaeologists in Spain used a 3D scanner to reveal the secrets of four ancient mummies. A team of historians and doctors were set to use the footage to study the lives, cause of death, and funeral rituals of the individuals. The specimens are three Egyptians and one Gaunch, Aboriginal people who lived in the Canary Islands, from the National Archaeological Museum in Madrid, Spain. The mummies were carefully taken to the University Hospital, Quirón Salud Madrid, the only facility with the latest testing technology. The scanner, which has low levels of radiation but a very high resolution, allowed the x-rays to penetrate their subject. Egyptologist Carmen Perez Dye said, I've spent all my life with these mummies. They are very important pieces, and I'm looking forward to beginning this new way of studying them, which we will learn many new things about them that until now we could not access. The most recent images that the team previously had of the mummies are all from radiographs taken back in 1976, so they're hoping to get some answers on these mummies and possibly their origins. But it's interesting, Akhenaten's believing, you know, we don't pray to all of these gods, just the sun god. He dies and he vanishes. Now, could that be that he was heretical? Maybe they decided not to bury him in a normal chamber because of his heretical teachings and belief systems.
That could be.
I don't know. I'm just not necessarily jumping to the whole concept that it's aliens. I'm not saying it's aliens, Tim, but as Giorgio Tsoukalos will tell you, it's probably aliens.
I tend to fall on the skeptical side when it comes to aliens in Egyptian society. Let's just say I have a hidden knowledge base or two in my back pocket.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You can't dangle like that, Captain Dangle, and not give people more information.
Nah, I have to. I can't.
Cool, let's use a voice changer so nobody knows it's you. Better yet, you know what, folks? If you want to know it as bad as I do, just call Tim at 612.
No, Dave.
Well, Tim, that way you can't get in trouble. You're just telling people privately at 612.
I'm sworn to secrecy. I couldn't tell them anyways. So
right, but I mean, between you, me, and our good friends, our hundreds of thousands of listeners, you can just tell us. We're not going to tell anybody.
It doesn't matter.
Our guarded secret.
I'm still sworn to secrecy. I couldn't tell anybody.
How about if we all showed up to your house at 314?
Dave, doesn't matter.
If we were all there, then we could scan everybody, make sure they're not bugged. That way we know when we're at your house at 314.
It still doesn't matter. I wouldn't be able to tell anybody. I mean, a promise is a promise, man. I mean, you don't go back on stuff like that.
Well, I'm promising you, none of us are going to tell. Everybody, you guys with me? If you're with me, raise your hand. Look at that. All these people around the world in their cars,
see
in their
them.
Houses, making love to their wives right now while listening to our show, which is weird if you think about
that
it.
Is
they're
creepy.
All raising their hand, Tim.
Yeah, that is creepy. I can't see that. If they're raising their hand, first of all, they're not paying attention to what they're doing. So they could hit the headboard. Second of all, I don't know that they're telling the truth. I mean, first of all, they're not even paying attention to the wife. Second of all, they're they're not even...
All right, fine. Keep your damn stupid little secrets. None of us care anyway.
Yeah.
If I find out, I'll let you guys know. I got to tell you, Tim.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we've got an interesting show. We're going to talk Sasquatch. We're going to talk UFOs, Canadian style. With D. McCulley tomorrow. He's a documentarian. And we're going to talk about some of the stories he was able to uncover in his documentaries about Bigfoot and UFOs. And I'm glad we had him on because I've had a theater of the mind for quite a while. It's one of those stories where it was just too good to not ever use, but I couldn't figure out what episode we would ever squeeze it in. And I think tomorrow is the day.
Hmm.
And people, you're going to be proud of Tim with this story. It was a story I knew would appeal to Tim's inner 6-year-old boy. So we will be playing that tomorrow on the episode with D. McCulley. So make sure that you tune in and check that out tomorrow. All right. Where shall we begin next in the world of supernatural news, Tim?
Well, we go to the world of television, Dave. It's been an interesting week in that there's been some videos released on social media. There's been some talk in the world of TV about paranormal television. And I think kind of lost in the shuffle a little bit was the fact that a new television series was talked about. And that is that Katrina Weidman and Jack Osborne have a brand new show out there called Portals to Hell. And it's being released on the Travel Channel in April.
Oh, God, your crush Katrina Weidman's on another show.
Yeah. Yeah.
She is ultra talented. So I'm glad to see that. We'll have to pull some strings. See if you can get her and Jack on the show. As a matter of fact, Jack, if you're listening, you can just call Tim directly at 612.
It's okay. We text.
Oh, you
he's
do?
Already, yeah,
he's oh,
already
so he's got your cell
he's
phone.
Got
he can
my number.
Text you directly at 612.
What? We don't need to give it to everybody else. Jack has a number.
Or not. I'm just trying to clarify if that's the number he has.
Dave. He's got the number.
Fine. He did. Portals to Hell, you say?
Yeah.
Coming out in April on the Travel Channel.
Yep.
We'll pull some strings. Text Jack. Let's get the Prince of Darkness on the show, and let's talk to him and Katrina about the program.
The Prince of Darkness. Yeah, it's an exciting new paranormal series coming to the Travel Channel in April. Jack and Katrina will be exploring the dark side of many notorious haunts.
Here's
you're
a little
invited.
About Jack and Katrina.
Well, I don't know that that'll be the theme song. I think that would kind of be a slap in the face of his dad, don't you think? It probably should be a little rougher, a little harder, a little...
I. Here's a little ditty about Jack and Katrina. I. Is that more what you're thinking?
No, that's
not
still
exactly.
a little wussed out.
Hard to please.
Portals to Hell is the kind of title that conjures up a sense of dread along with an abiding curiosity to know more. This April, the Travel Channel will be exploring some of the more infamous haunts in the U.S. with Jack Osborne and Katrina Weidman. What does the son of rock icon Ozzy Osborne know about the paranormal? Well, as it turns out, quite a bit. According to the Travel Channel press release, here's what Jack had to say about the pending production. He says, I've been obsessed with the supernatural ever since I was a kid, and I'm excited to team up with Katrina to investigate the darkest, most sinister places on Earth. We're walking headfirst into the heart of darkness, and we're excited to take brave viewers with us. Katrina,
wait, the heart of darkness, isn't that your house over at 314?
Dave, no, what? It's not. It's not. It's actually very light and airy. It's very nice.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. Katrina Weidman first came to prominence on the A&E network as one of the ensemble members of Paranormal State. She also chased ghosts with Nick Groff in Destination America's popular series Paranormal Lockdown. Obviously not a stranger to exploring other realms, Weidman has also gotten to work with veteran medium Lorraine Warren, and yes, the same woman that Vera Farmiga plays in the Conjuring films. Her experience makes her the perfect partner for Jack Osborne's foray into paranormal investigations. Osborne's company, Osborne Media, will be producing the venture along with critical content for the Travel Channel. And recently, Jack appeared on the UK Live's Celebrity Haunted Mansion series. It says here, from what we can tell, the show is going to be chock full of terrifying settings. The duo will visit incredibly haunted Eastern State Penitentiary on the outskirts of Philadelphia, as well as the Strawberry River Bed and Breakfast, which is incredibly close to Utah's Skinwalker Ranch. For UFO enthusiasts, Skinwalker has been cited as one of the most prominent areas to witness alien spacecrafts. Eyewitnesses have claimed that they have seen strange aerial phenomena in the area. Katrina and Jack will definitely have their work cut out from the series is premiering April 19th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Travel Channel. You can go to the network's website for more details. I will tell you this, Dave. I'll give you an inside scoop here on the show already if you want a scoop on the show. You ready for this?
I'm listening.
All right. Jack is incredibly skeptical, almost to the point of almost being cynical. And it's going to be kind of an interesting twist on the show because he's not quite ready to believe that every little mouse fart is something paranormal. So it's more so not just your typical, let's just say your typical skepticism when it comes to being skeptical. He really isn't. Let's just say he really isn't a huge believer in the paranormal, so this will be an interesting show.
That's weird. For somebody so fascinated by it, not really a believer. I guess you can be fascinated, but not a believer.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it'll be it's more like having a Dr. Shermer along on a paranormal investigation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it'll be
all
an
right.
interesting show.
See how it turns out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, since we're talking of TV, Jan Broberg's kidnapper tried to brainwash others into believing they were aliens. Abducted in plain sight, filmmaker reveals shocking details left out and speaks about that car sex act between victim's dad and her captor in a new article that's been put out there. This is a very, very weird story. Robert Birchtold allegedly convinced other children he abused that they had been abducted by aliens, according to the woman behind Abducted in Plain Sight, who has revealed several shocking details which were left out of the documentary. The Netflix hit tells the bizarre true story of how 12-year-old Jan Broberg was abducted twice by family friend Birchold, who had sexual encounters with her. Both mother and father married her in Mexico and brainwashed her into something about the way I've read that, my mind is working one way, my mouth another. Let me read that so I can see if I can make sense of what I just said.
Okay.
The Netflix hit tells the bizarre true story of how 12-year-old Jan Broberg was abducted twice by family friend Birchold, who had sexual encounters with both her mother and father, married her in Mexico, and brainwashed her into believing she had been abducted by aliens and could save the alien race by having a baby with him. Wow, that is all kinds of twisted. Filmmaker Sky Borgman admits in a new interview that she was skeptical about victim Jan Broberg's story surrounding her kidnapping and thought it could have been made up as a coping mechanism for Stockholm syndrome. Borgman heard stories of others who didn't want to appear on camera while researching the Netflix film, and they matched up to what Broberg has claimed. Broberg told how Birchold would play her creepy recordings on a cassette player from the aliens. I constantly questioned if this had really happened, Borgman told Vanity Fair. Then, while we were working on the film, one of Birchold's other alleged victims reached out to us and told us a story about him using the alien psychology and saying, "You're a princess from a different planet." he used the whole alien story on her, and that was the moment for me when I thought, oh my gosh, it's real. He did it. The cinematographer believes the kidnapper played off UFO news being popular in the media during the 1970s when the Berchtold family met, or Berchtold met the family. But he also had the upper hand due to what took place between himself and the Broberg's parents, as well as continuing an affair with Broberg's mother, Marianne, while proclaiming he wanted to marry the woman's daughter. There was an incident in a car where he convinced the girl's father, Bob, to stimulate his genitals using his hand.
Whoa.
Desperate to keep the sexual encounters a secret, the victim's parents say they felt helpless when their child was snatched. Borgman was reluctant to question the father about the details, of which she found while going through legal documents, but he volunteered the information. She explained, "I think Bob realized that it was a critical element to the story and how Berchtold was able to get into the family this way so seamlessly." The filmmaker said Bob, who passed away in 2018, opened up about the car incident in the documentary, a detail that was not in the book, he did not address whether his relationship with Berchtold ever continued. "We certainly couldn't find an indication that it continued," Borgman said, adding that she is often asked whether it did and is curious herself. "I'm not sure that that matters, if there was one or if there wasn't, because it was this one indiscretion that really gave Berchtold the ammunition he needed to blackmail the head of the household. One time more than that, the deed was done, and the ramifications of that were set in motion." What a very strange story. Have you watched this show yet?
I have not, no. Mm-mm.
I'm going to have to watch that. This sounds bizarre. We might want to cover this on a True Crime Tuesday episode if we can.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, very bizarre. 2 years later, Broberg was abducted again by Berchtold, this time going missing for 100 days when she was 14 years old. Berchtold enrolled her in Catholic girls' school, posing as her father to keep her family and the authorities away before she was eventually tracked down and returned home. Let out of the documentary was an incident where Marianne met with Berchtold in a parking lot. The alleged gathering allegedly involved a gun, and the woman's brother was present. The filmmaker had to chop many riveting details for streamlining the story's purpose. The documentary, which was 3 years in the making, consists of reenactments of the events alongside talking head interviews with the family of the victim, Berchtold's brother, and an FBI agent assigned to the case. The bizarre details of the case have shocked viewers, but the kidnapper's brother still wanted to represent him in the documentary since no other family members would. Berchtold took his own life in 2005 after a court meeting with the victim. "It is something I think about a lot, that sibling love and how strong it is," Borgman said about his brother Joe. "I think that that comes out a lot with Joe, that he loves his brother even though his brother was a pedophile. And I think those two things really are in conflict with him." What a weird story.
Yeah.
Just a twisted tale, man. Holy cow. All right. Where are we off to next?
Well, from incredibly shocking to somewhat stupidly shocking. It's the only way I could put it on this deal. You know, in the world of pro wrestling, Dave, they say that the closer you are to reality, the more believable it is for the audience that you're playing to. And there was an angle that came up on a podcast called Sitting Ringside with David Penzer. And they were talking about how for WCW's Halloween Havoc in 1998, they had booked this, or they had an idea for this angle that they thought was going to be great. And it turned out not to be so great, so they decided not to do it. But the intrigue of it would make most people cringe, but some people thought it was kind of funny, so they came out and told people about it this past week. The build to WCW Halloween Havoc 1998 involved the Ultimate Warrior appearing to Hollywood Hogan in a mirror. Some of us remember that one, that everyone except Eric Bischoff could see. That's right. You heard that right. Everybody saw the Ultimate Warrior, except for Eric Bischoff. But unless someone is truly messing with us, it almost involves something worse. Here's the angle that never happened at Halloween Havoc. Buff Bagwell dying in a plane crash and coming back as a ghost. You heard me right. That was the
That was going to be one of the storylines. They were going to allegedly kill off one of their wrestlers so that he would reappear as a ghost.
That was the alleged storyline that never happened. On this week's episode of Sitting Ringside with David Penzer, former WCW ring announcer Penzer brought up the proposed angle to Buff and discussed it at length, from the fact that they were going to work a plane crash death and not tell anyone that it was fake to a ghostly run-in on wires. That means that he would just come in on wires and run in during a match. Here's an excerpt from the discussion, which has to be read and also probably heard to be believed. "So I wanted to ask you this forever," Penzer said. "There was a rumor going around that Eric Bischoff, wanted to work an angle having you die in a plane crash and come and interfere in a match and not smarten up the boys. Is that correct?" So Buff says back to David Penzer, 100% correct. MGM Grand was one of the last Halloween Havocs we did, and he, Eric, wanted me to die in a plane crash, and so he was going to do it. I had already called my parents to get them ready for this, my wife to let them know, and then they switched it. I did some kind of a run-in, I think, in a Bill Clinton mask. Oh boy. If he went through with the original plan, he wanted me to come down like a ghost on wires after the plane crash, out of his mouth to me. That was the quote. And he did. He actually ran in.
I wonder if they were smart enough to realize, you know what? That could impact people. You know, there are people that when a celebrity dies, commit suicide because they can't take the death of their favorite celebrity or sports athlete. I wonder if they realized, you know what? Maybe this isn't such a good ploy to tease on people's emotions either.
I think that's a lot of it too.
All done in bad taste or something.
Yeah, and so that's the article. But yeah, he rather than go through with the whole thing, and I think there's also the whole thing of, you know what, in the day and age, that was kind of the beginning of the dirt sheets on the internet and all that other stuff, and trying to keep it quiet and having to also tell your parents, hey, you know what. We're going to do this angle and you've got to keep quiet. And I think they also, good taste, I think also came into it too, that, you know what, we can't do this. We can't say that this wrestler died and then come back and suspend him from wires. And around this time too, this was shortly before, I mean, mind you, the Owen Hart accident hadn't happened yet. But they were still suspending people from wires. I mean, Sting was coming from the rafter, down from the rafters in WCW on wires. But, you know, it would only be another 6 to 8 months before Owen Hart fell from the rafters in Kansas City in WWF at the time, now WWE. So, you know, it was just probably a bad idea all the way around. They probably were looking at safety issues and stuff like that, too, and just decided, let's just scrap it. It's too much trouble. So.
All right. Well, since we're talking wrestling, I know there's some pretty exciting news out there, Tim. So before I read my next story, why don't you share what you want to share?
Well, Dave, there's a brand new wrestling organization out there that's taking a shot at WWE. They want the crown. They want the title. They want to be the number one wrestling organization in the world. And it's called AEW, All Elite Wrestling. And I guess the reason I mention it is because they've been announced that they're going to be part of Chris Jericho's next Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, which we were part of last year. And they've announced the dates for the brand new cruise, which is going to be in January of 2020. Chris actually announced that the next Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea is going to take place January 20th through the 24th of 2020. And Chris also revealed that All Elite Wrestling will be joining the mix and have their roster featured on the cruise, which is huge because on the last cruise, it was Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, and Kenny Omega came over from New Japan Pro Wrestling. And that mix of wrestlers was kind of iconic in that it had never happened before and probably will never happen again because All Elite Wrestling now is the wrestling roster that's going to be featured on this cruise. Last October, Jericho's first cruise successfully sailed out of Miami and featured a variety of musicians, comedians, wrestlers from Ring of Honor, Impact, New Japan. With the initial cruise selling out and receiving rave reviews, Jericho announced late last year that a second cruise would indeed be taking place. The caption Jericho included with the video, there's a video in this article, reads, "It's official. Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager's second wave part deux." I always thought electric cruise or electric boogaloo would have been better. You know, cruise to electric boogaloo.
Oh God!
You know, that's just me. It's taking place January 20th through the 24th, 2020, from Miami to the Bahamas, and we're excited to say right out of the dock that we'll be joined by All Elite Wrestling and Fozzy, with many more to be announced. Jump aboard Norwegian Pearl, which is a bigger ship than the last one, by the way, to be part of this history-making event combining rock and roll, wrestling, comedy, live podcasts, paranormal explorations, and all-around outrageous moments.
Wait. What was that last part?
Paranormal explorations, Dave.
Oh, yeah. Did I mention we're going to be aboard that cruise, Tim? You and I will be hosting the paranormal explorations.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you should have known that. I mean, we're the Beyond the Darkness guys.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
Who else would Jericho get? And he already told me we're on. So there you go. You're getting it from us first. I don't even think we're even on their website yet, but Jericho said that we will be the paranormal contingent on the Jericho Cruise 2. So I wanted to just make sure we get that out there, Tim.
Well, there you go. So
how do people get info on it?
Well, actually, you can register for the pre-sale right now. Get in there right now. ChrisJerichoCruise.com. ChrisJerichoCruise.com. And you get some extra goodies if you get in right now as well. If you're within the first 400 cabins to sign up, you get an exclusive Q&A with Chris. You also get a free T-shirt for the cruise for part deux, which they didn't have available last time. So you get a free T-shirt. You get an exclusive Q&A with Chris. You get some other goodies as well if you're within the first 400 cabins at the presale. So, ChrisJerichoCruise.com.
Hundreds of spooky, not few, not tens, Tim, but hundreds of spooky witch marks have been discovered in a cave once believed to lead to hell.
Ooh.
The eerie etchings were caved into the stone walls of Creswell Crags near Sherwood Forest, Nottinghamshire, the supposed home of the Robin Hood, Tim. Experts believe the newly found symbols are the largest collection of its kind found anywhere in the UK. Witch marks are thought to have been made to ward off evil spirits rising up from the shadowy underworld beneath the caves. The chilling discovery was made by Ed Waters and Haley Clark from the Subterranea Britannica Society, which studies and investigates underground places across the country. They were carrying out a cave tour when they suddenly noticed the extremely rare markings on the wall. It's believed that the sheer amount of markings and the variance between them is unprecedented in Britain. John Charlesworth, who was leading the tour when the symbols were found, said these witches' marks were in plain sight all the time. Being present at that moment, their true significance was revealed. Will stay with me forever. This remarkable place continues to give up its secrets. Some of the most common markings show the WBV engravings, thought to be a reference to Mary, the Virgin of Virgins. Markings showing PM also reference the Mother of Christ, meaning Pace Maria. Other figures are thought to be devices for trapping evil spirits, including mazes and boxes and diagonal lines. Experts say the marks appear to have been added over time and would indicate a desire to strengthen protection against the underworld. This may have been a response to evils such as death, unexpected sickness, or poor crops in the surrounding area. So they would think bad things were happening because of this and go down there and etch new etchings on the wall. That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to know more about that, too. Another one of those kind of cool stories. All right. And where are we off to next with you, sir?
Again, back to Hollyweird, so to speak. You know, one of the most disappointing things I think that's happened over the past couple of years, and it actually just happened again this past week, is the cancellation of the Marvel TV series on Netflix. And
Jessica Jones and the Punisher. Yeah. Now Marvel, all of their TV series are dead on Netflix. Well, that's no big surprise, though, right? With Disney starting their own channel and Marvel being a Disney property.
Right. But one of the things that I guess is, although the Marvel has said now, and I'll try not to belabor this point, but one of the things that Netflix has said is they own the properties now, and that they'll play forever on Netflix. That at least those iterations will play forever on Netflix, and that there are no plans to resurrect those properties over on Disney, which is kind of alarming. Although Marvel has come back and said that you will see those series, at least like The Punisher and Jessica Jones, sometime in the near future. Or not, I'm sorry, not Punisher and Jessica Jones, but Defenders was what it was this past week. They said that you will see the Defenders in one iteration or another on the, in the new new service, Disney. But Mike Coulter, who plays Luke Cage, is actually in a new CBS series, which is investigating paranormal activity. Luke Cage may have been canceled, but star Mike Coulter is bouncing back, and he's already moved into a new lead role on the CBS drama Evil. Coulter will star in the pilot for the possible series, reports TV Line. The show will be created by Robert and Michelle King, the team behind The Good Wife and The Good Fight. Coulter had a recurring role on both programs as Lamon Bishop, a drug lord and legal client. While Coulter will no longer be a superhero, his character will encounter some extraordinary circumstances in the series. Coulter played David DaCosta, a priest in training who teams up with a skeptical psychologist and a blue-collar contractor to investigate paranormal happenings. Westworld's Katya Herbers has been cast as a psychologist. The contractor has not yet been cast. Although the Kings are best known for their much like the X-Files, Coulter's character will play the believer, while Herbert's character is a skeptic. And although the Kings are best known for their critically acclaimed legal drama, this isn't the first time that they've delved into supernatural territory. They created the limited 2016 series Braindead about alien insects infiltrating the brains of U.S. politicians, which we all could use right now if you have a few of those. We'd appreciate it. Evil is one of over a dozen pilots currently in the running for CBS's fall season slate. You know, I'll tell you, I've always enjoyed, I don't know how you felt about the Luke Cage series, but I've always enjoyed Mike Coulter's acting, so I'm glad that he is bouncing back on something. So,
I thought the Luke Cage and Iron Fist series were just, they were bland to me. They didn't, you know, Daredevil was great. Jessica Jones was unique and interesting. I didn't mind the Defenders, but yeah, I just felt like they didn't really find their stride with Iron Fist and Luke Cage.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
I enjoyed the first season a lot of Luke Cage. The second one kind of fell off a little bit to me, but I like Mike Coulter as an actor. I enjoy him for one reason or another. I don't know. Could be a man
so
crush.
Here's a,
no idea.
Here's a weird story, Tim. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are cycling this around talking about, you know, the talks of dogmen and werewolves.
Yeah.
This may end up being something that might bring us even closer into that realm of believability. An angel teacher killed in a mysterious animal attack during her daily walk. A beloved teacher was attacked and killed by a mysterious animal in North Carolina. Officials are still trying to figure out what happened. On Friday, paramedics who responded to a 911 call for an animal attack found Brenda Hamilton, 77, suffering from serious injuries along a road in Beaufort County. Monday, the Beaufort County Sheriff's Office said in a statement that Hamilton had died. Officials originally said a DNA test eliminated. Pay attention. Officials originally said a DNA test eliminated any wild animals indigenous to the area. Later, they said test results did find trace amounts of canine DNA at the scene that could match anything from a wolf or coyote to a domestic dog. Sheriff's investigators are currently testing dogs in the area. Hamilton was an English teacher for more than 50 years at a Christian school in Belhaven, North Carolina, where she is remembered by staff as their angel. Coworkers said Hamilton was attacked during her morning walk. Monday, the school shared a statement on Facebook. It is of the heaviest of hearts that I share that our precious Mrs. Hamilton has gained her wings. Anyone who knew her has no doubt that when she enters the gates of heaven, she was welcome with these words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. Very strange story. First case up. I mean, you would think in the initial report, oh, well, we're not finding it, you know, we're not finding any proof of any kind of local animals. Well, that would be dogs, coyotes, and wolves as well. Then all of a sudden, there's like this weird backpedal and trace amounts of canine saliva. Mm-hmm. Good God, man. Could there really be a dog man?
I don't know.
A werewolf?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Well, you've got kind of a weird attack story as well.
I do, and I don't know whether I should pronounce this the way I want to pronounce this or the way that most people pronounce it,
do
which
it.
Is wrong.
It's your show. What are they going to do? Call you at 612-48?
Dave, I don't want any phone calls from these people.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What would they'd have to have the full number, and I never get to give the damn thing.
These people disgust me. I don't want their phone calls.
These people disgust me.
with their mouths full of crap going, woo-hoo, woo-hoo, woo-hoo.
All right. What's your next story for us?
I guess I'll pronounce it their way. It just sounds like I have a mouthful of crap, though. Llamas mysteriously killed in a grizzly attack near the Louisville Zoo. It's supposed to be Louisville, Dave. It's Louisville. There was no King
Louisville.
There was no King Lou.
Might be.
It was King Louis.
But it's also New Orleans, based on Orleans in France, but we call it Nolans.
Who calls it?
You don't mess with the locals, Tim. Listen, I do Midnight in the Desert from KNYE in Pahrump, Nevada, and I get yelled at all the time. It's Nevada, not Nevada. Who cares? We do. We're Nevadaans.
Nevadaans.
I don't know what the hell they. Yeah, I get a lot of shtick for that crap. But really? You know, whatever. I say what I say. Yeah. Point is, we're there. We're doing the show.
Yeah.
Well. Not many other hosts can say that.
Man.
All right.
So
what's the town?
It's
Louisville.
Yeah, okay, I don't know.
Louisville.
It sounds Kentucky. Like somebody beat Frankenstein upside the head with a stick. Owners of a Louisville llama farm are shocked after six of their animals died Monday in a gruesome attack. Carolyn Willett, one of the owners of the Louisville llama farm, told the Courier Journal she woke up about 7:30 a.m. now I'm obsessed with the word to see blood and tufts of wool spread around the barn in her property. The farm is in the 1500 block of Shuff Lane, right behind the Louisville Zoo by Beargrass Creek. It doesn't even come out of my mouth right. Five of the llamas were found dead with bite marks behind their ears and by their flanks. Another llama was badly injured and needed to be put down, according to Willett. A fence near the front of the farm's property was smashed and covered in blood when one of the llamas tried to run away, she said. I know they are just livestock, Willett said, but these were my babies. She had names for them like Boo, who was born on Halloween, or No White, a pun on Snow White. Both were mauled by an unknown animal. On Tuesday, Louisville Metro Animal Services spokeswoman Tia Barnes said a veterinarian who examined the llamas said wounds appeared canine in nature. Barnes added that the agency cannot confirm whether a coyote, dog, or other large animal is responsible for the attack.
Werewolf dog men.
And that seven more llamas are injured.
By werewolf dog men?
Yeah. Kyle Shepard, a spokesperson for the nearby Louisville Zoo, said zoo staff were made aware of the attack by a neighbor. Shepard said the zoo has staff on site 24/7 to monitor animals and gates around the zoo, and staff did not notice or hear anything out of the ordinary Monday around the time of the reported attack. At least two other llamas were injured, Willett said. She estimated the animals' deaths will cost at least $10,000 in damages. Willett has owned the farm for at least 18 and a half years with her husband, Dale Hill, and said she has never seen anything like Monday's attack. While many neighbors were quick to speculate that coyotes were responsible, Willett, however, is skeptical. She said llamas are good at defending themselves. One of the llamas that was killed weighed 500 pounds. She said, I see coyotes.
Ooh, is that a big mama llama?
That's a big mama llama.
Or is that a wama llama ding dong?
Well, it could be that too. I see coyotes around here all the time, Willett said. Llamas are guard animals and they'll mess you up. That's a direct quote. Willett said she does not have.
Mess you up is right. They spit in your eye.
Yeah, they do.
Dicks.
Yeah, well, there's that. That's a brand new t-shirt. Llamas are dicks. Well, no, that's not spitting in your eye. That's doing something else. Willett said she does not have any surveillance footage or cameras on the property. Louisville Llama Farm, which sounds weird, sells the wool of the animals and also grows other crops such as grapes and pawpaws, a large fruit native to the United States. Pawpaws. You ever had a pawpaw?
I have not ever had a pawpaw.
I haven't either. The farm.
What kind of poo-poos come from a pawpaw?
Well, they're large poo-poos out of your pawpaw, if you know what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
The farm made news in 2009 when the Courier-Journal reported that two of the animals had escaped and were promptly returned back to the farm by police. There you go.
All right. You have any other news stories? I'm done.
I believe that's it.
All right. Why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. It's time to share your stories next. Supernatural Parashare right here on Beyond the Darkness.
Beyond the Darkness listeners, if you like this show, then you're going to love the Laura Ingraham Show podcast on Podcast One. Join Laura as she takes on politics and pop culture with some hard-hitting guests and takes your calls. Download the Laura Ingraham Show podcast every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Beyond the Darkness.
All right, we are back, and you're listening to Beyond the Darkness. Hey, I got a big favor to ask of you guys. We're right around the corner from this. March 2nd, my son is going to be doing the Polar Plunge to help raise awareness for Special Olympics. We did this last year together. I'm not allowed to do it this year because I'm under contract with a TV program, and I'm not allowed to do anything weird and putting myself in physical possibility of catching a cold or something when I'm about to go film. They're poo-pooing it. But my son, who is a Navy vet and a Minnesota firefighter, will be taking the plunge this year to help raise money and awareness for the Special Olympics. Every dollar we help to raise helps the Special Olympians. It helps everything from their training to their uniforms to travel expenses. So if you would like to help us out this year, we have a lofty goal of $5,000. Last year, we hit, I think, over $3,000. This year, it's really trickling in slowly, but we could use any help. If every one of our listeners just donated $1, we would crush this goal in no time and a hundredfold. But I'm just asking a handful of you to make that donation if you could. Just help us out so that we can hit that goal and help out as many Olympians as we possibly can. Just go to darknessradio.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, and you'll see the link to make that donation. And that's for the Polar Plunge. It'll take you in and actually explain to you how the money's used as well. So if you could do that, I would find it greatly appreciative because it goes a long way to help out. And I'm very proud of my son for doing these things. You know, he works with special education camps during the summer, and he tries to raise money with his firefighters and all the guys from his firehouse. And they raise a lot of money every year, but he's always the king of bringing in the money because of his connections and because of the generosity of our audience. So if you could do that, I would greatly appreciate your help. Thank you. All right, Tim, it's time for some Parashare. Are you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
To whom it may concern, this is Jonathan from Canada. Let me first request that you guys stop talking about sports. It scares and confuses me, and I don't listen to your show to get scared. Wait. Okay. Maybe I do. Fine. Whatever. Talk about it then. Go, teams, go. No, a little bipolar, are we?
Huh.
Jonathan from Canada.
All right.
Anyway, I'll share with you guys an anecdote. How do you say it? Anecdote?
It's
anecdote.
It's anecdote.
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 Anecdote sounds much better. Anecdote. Anecdote. Anyway, I'll share with you guys an anecdote. What a dick this guy is, just to throw that word in to screw with me.
Yep.
And listen to what he did. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
This guy's a bastard and a half. Canadians, what do you expect, Tim?
What?
He goes,
they're nice people.
I'll share with you. Wait till I say this line and then you tell me.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll share with you guys an anecdotal anecdote just for your segment of the show during which you read anecdotes.
Nah, I see what he did.
He was screwing with me. Yeah, he's screwing with me.
Yeah.
But I did it. I nailed it, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
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 All right. Let's get to his anecdote. Anyway,
no,
I've had sleep paralysis three times. That's what I said. Anecdote.
No.
I've had sleep paralysis three times. This phenomena, do, is easy for me to dismiss because of the what? This phenomenon, do, is easy for me to dismiss because of, oh my God. What kind of moron am I?
Phenomenon.
Apparently that, I just answered that. Yes.
Phenomenon.
Okay, let me try this again. Boy, Canada's really messing with me, Tim. I told you this guy, dick. But Jonathan, I forgive you. Anyway, I'll share with you guys an anecdote of anecdotal anecdote just for your segment of the show, which you read anecdotes. I've had sleep paralysis 3 times. This phenomena, is easy for me to dismiss because of the whole you could be dreaming explanation. I'm not saying that this is always the case, but for proof of the paranormal, it's no smoking gun. Now, I want people to realize I'm letting Tim keep all of that in. All of the bad reading stays in because I know that's part of what you guys enjoy, seeing that Tim and I are human and that God-level status of radio show hosts can, in fact, muck up when they're telling an anecdote.
Anecdote.
I know. I want people to feel like we're all on the same level, Tim, so I mess up words on occasion. That's what I do. Yeah. All right. Just go with that. At any rate, the first time I experienced it, I saw black mist floating above me. An incredibly intense evil emanated off of this cloud, and the experience was terrifying. Then, just like that, I could finally move. The thing was gone, and I could hear the noises of the rest of the house being awake. Since it was morning, I often have the same evil sensation and fear in my dreams, during which I'm running from some shadowy demon. The second time it happened, the second time it happened, Tim, I didn't experience anything scary other than the inability to move. But the third time is the weird one. I'm currently on night shift because my life blows. And so during the day, I sleep with earplugs and an eye mask. Super hot look. The wife digs it. A few weeks ago, I had sleep paralysis for the first time in 6 years. I couldn't see anything because of the eye mask and couldn't hear anything because of the earplugs. But when I felt, but what I felt was someone's finger moving around in my mouth. You just keep telling yourself that, pal. Welcome to Ghost Wiener. you've been punked. You've been poltergeist punked, pal. I'll add that I was home alone when this occurred. So did this feeling leak over from a dream? Oh, it was leaking, all right. I sure as hell hope so. The feeling of it did fade as the experience went on, and I fought to move. Thank you for reading my anecdote. Go ahead and use it as a theater of the mind. Don't think so. Last time I emailed you, I left you with a joke you apparently didn't like. So this time, I'll leave you with this joke, your podcast. Boom! From one of your biggest fans, probably in the top 10 for sure. That comes from Jonathan the Dick from Canada. Wow. We love you, Jonathan. Thank you.
Did you throw that the dick in there?
No, I'm pretty sure. I mean, it might have been in Visitext, but I'm pretty sure it was in there.
Because if you didn't throw the dick in there, the ghost threw it in him. Hello!
Whoa! Good night, everybody! Make sure to tip your waiters and waitresses on the way out. Hey, D-Dog and T-Bone.
Hey.
Ooh, I like that.
I like that.
Oh, I do. Is that our new millennium rap names, D-Dog and T-Bone?
I like it. Sure. Why not?
Yeah. I have a lot of stories, but the main thing I want to know about is the old lady. I have a few ghosts in my house. Most are nice. Tim, reading is extremely hard today.
It is.
I'll have you know that I'm in a hotel room in Tampa where the only place my computer's working is smack up against the wall between my beds on a little nightstand. So I'm hunched over trying to read these stories. Not that this makes excuses, Tim. Excuses are like assholes. We all have them and they all stink. But I'm trying to give you a little bit of insight as to why. And I'm hunched over. Yeah. I'm hunched over here, Tim, like Quasimodo trying to read these stories. I have oily fingerprints on my glasses because I'm too dumb to clean them. All right. Okay. Hey, D-Dog and T-Bone. Hey, I have a lot of stories, but the main thing I want to know about is the old lady. I have a few ghosts in my house. Most are nice in the fact that they just hang out and try not to bother anyone. One I call the traveler because he is just passing through from time to time and isn't bound to the house. But I'm actually writing about a specific one. A little backstory. As a kid, I was more in tune to ghosts. I'd never see them, but knew when they were in my house. They would not talk to me directly, but I'd get feelings like I'd know if it was a kid, an old man, or an old lady. The lady would usually visit me at night and sit on my bed. I would be able to actually feel the bed move and feel the pressure of her sitting at the foot of the bed. They would turn off lights for me when I forgot to and just always hang around. I'd also see the shadow people when I was home alone. Always standing in the hallway, walking up next to me when I was in the living room on the couch. As I got older, I lost my sensitivity. But in certain houses or apartments, I would get images in my mind and dream visits from them from time to time. Nowadays, I think I have put some kind of mental block that keeps them out, except when I drink. If I have a few drinks, I guess I loosen up and they find their way back in. I won't go into those stories because anyone can blame it on the alcohol, but most people I've talked to say drinking keeps them away. It's the opposite for me. The reason I'm writing you today is about the old lady. Actually, I don't know how old she is, but I do know she is a lady. Whoa, 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 she's a lady. I've experienced sleep paralysis before. I don't like it. It's scary and very unpleasant. Most times, it's on my back, but one time I was actually face down in my pillow, unable to breathe, and I had to force myself awake so that I would not suffocate. It was one of the scariest things I've ever experienced because I could not move and knew if I could not force myself out of it, I would have suffocated. Okay, time out right there, Tim.
Okay.
Time for Dave and Tim PSA.
Okay.
Folks, if you're dealing with sleep paralysis on a regular basis and you're noticing that it's primarily when you're sleeping on your back, you need to go see a doctor.
Yeah.
Okay? It's 99 times out of 100 an image with, or not an image, but an issue with neurology. Go get to a doctor. Talk to them about this. It might be a form of sleep apnea. It might be some other more disturbing issue that has nothing to do with the paranormal. But please go get checked. If this is happening to you on a regular basis, listen, this is what we know. Sleep paralysis happens most to people who sleep on their back. So that tells you something. Does that mean it's a demon? Does that mean it's a ghost? Why wouldn't they attack you if you're on your tummy? Now, this is one of the rare stories I've heard where that happens. But my guess is you really might want to get checked because if this is a neurological issue or a sleep study issue, you might want to get this checked out because now if it's starting to affect you even on your stomach, you might have a real sleeping problem. So please go get that checked. That's the doctor-friendly side of us. Could it be paranormal? I'm not sure. We'll cover that in a few minutes. I mention this to people I know, and I understand the difference between what sleep paralysis is and what I experience. I know with sleep paralysis, a lady sitting on your chest is usually linked to it. Well, most people feel a heavy pressure on their chest. I don't know that it's necessarily the spirit sitting on their chest, but they get that feel. While I never see anyone sitting on me when it happens, I understand that while in the sleeping state, it's hard to get your body to move to what you want to do, and it feels like a heavy weight or someone is on a rope of you and you cannot move. Someone is on rope of you and you cannot move. Spell check, folks. Just reread your story once out loud before you send it. That's all I'm asking. It's scary and excruciating, and I hope anyone who has not experienced it never will. My problem is with the angry lady that's in my house. I have an angry lady in my house, Tim. She's my wife.
No.
If I don't at least pretend to do the chores I'm supposed to do, man.
Yep. Hell
talk
to
about
pay.
Portals to hell. Yeah.
Yep.
I've never seen her, but I know it's her and what she does not like me. Every once in a while, she comes to my room in the middle of the night and takes the sheets off me, wakes me up and stares at me from the doorway. It's not sleep paralysis. I can move, usually to get back under the sheets and hide from her. Yes, as a grown ass man, I still try to hide from ghosts by hiding under my sheets. What's wrong with that? They're protective. That's what they're made for. My stepdaughter is still in tune to everything in that house, and when I have an issue with ghosts, I will ask her about them. Today, I finally got around to asking her about the lady. I asked her, what's up with the lady in the house? And she replied, dude, she is just now bothering you? I said, no, I've known about her for a while, but I'm just asking about her now. She replied with, she hates everyone and wants to bother you. She likes to steal your covers and glare at you. She only leaves the purest of hearts and deep sleepers that she can't wake up alone. This was without giving any information about what I was experiencing or amount of hatred I have felt from the old lady, and I got chills. So I'm asking, have you heard stories about an angry old lady that hints people is just angry? Please, folks, just read through it once out loud. Just one time out loud before you send them to me. That's all I'm asking you. So I'm asking, have you ever heard any stories about an angry old woman that hits people, that is, or hates, maybe that's what they're trying to say, hates people, or is just angry, or has any other listeners had the same experience? I have a feeling she is like the man in the top hat and not bound to my house, but she is something that visits others, and she is not the same as a sleep paralysis lady that people see, but something else that is purely evil. Keep up the good work, and thanks for all you do, Charles from Austin, Texas. Well, thank you for sharing your story, Charles, and I don't mean to belabor and beat you up about the way it's written, but I know a lot of people are in a hurry, and I appreciate you sending us your stories. Like I said, it takes you another minute or two to read it out loud. Do it. Sometimes you'll see just what I'm talking about when it comes to that. You know, there are many places that seem to have angry old spirits within them. I don't know that they're traveling or transient spirits. I don't know why they would be. I would guess this is tied more to your property. You can go to a place called diedinhouse.com. And I think it's like $12. You can run a report and see if somebody died in your house. If they may not have died specifically in your house, you may have the information about people that live there that passed away. Maybe you'll get a name. By addressing them by name usually gives you more power. See what that person wants. Maybe there's a reason that they're there. Maybe in whatever timeline she's living, you and your family are haunting her, and she's just as unnerved and freaked out. So maybe that's something to consider. Any other advice or insights, Tim?
I don't think there's such a thing as like a nightmare type of character that travels around and just haunts people's nightmares. I've never really subscribed to that theory. You remember the nightmare character like in the Incredible Hulk comics and stuff like that, that would jump into people's nightmares and would fire up their worst dreams? I think that's what Charles is trying to get at, that maybe this lady is not attached to him or the house or anything in particular. It's a character that just shows up in your dreams and amps up your dreams or just attacks for no reason. I don't think it's anything that's that random or that you're being picked on for no reason.
I think it probably has something to do more with the house.
Yeah, I think it's probably
more the property.
Yeah, more centralized. I don't think it's just a random attack. So,
greetings, Dave and Tim. Wife said I should share my story with you two guys. When I was little, about 10 or 11, I had my first paranormal experience. We had moved from a homeless shelter in Dallas, Texas, into a very small apartment, a small room with a kitchen and a bathroom that were about the same size. So very small. It was a low-income place, which probably saw a lot of elderly and poor in and out as renters. Was me and my mom and a cat. Anyway, just setting the scene for you. We probably lived there for probably a few weeks. We would go out and come home to find empty toilet rolls on the wall with toilet paper stacked up underneath it. At first, we thought it was the cat, but it was always a neat square stack folded back and forth in a pile. One day, my mom was in the bathroom and she yells for me and says, Hurry, come see this. I go in the bathroom and the roll is unraveling right before our eyes, slowly. Like someone is grabbing the roll, and it's just going back and forth in a square pile. Some might say, well, just gravity, but it would slow down and then speed up unwinding. After we both witnessed this, it would happen when we were in the bathroom. You would feel like someone was there, but nothing menacing. A friend of my mom stayed one night and woke up, and a man was standing at the end of the bed. I never saw anyone. I felt it, though. Think he just wanted us to know he was there by playing with the toilet paper. Anyway, figured I'd give you all a laugh. Thanks again. Love the shows. Thank you for sharing your story with us. We appreciate that. Just read what you write. That's all I'm asking, folks. Send me a little bit of the story, but read what you write. It helps me. I love you people, and Tim, not so much, but I do.
Well, I mean, don't totally say I hate him, because I don't. I do like him. I'm pretty partial to him.
Yeah, but you wouldn't sleep with them. There's the difference between us, Tim.
I'll sleep with some.
I would sleep with all of our listeners.
All of them? Every single one of them?
Every single burly-backed one of them.
Wow. You're dirty, dirty, dirty.
I didn't say I'd do the dirty, Tim. I just said I'd sleep with them.
Oh.
I'd hold their hand through dark and scary nights. I'd cuddle them. I'd spoon them. I'd allow them to be the big spoon if they felt more comfortable. I'm a giver, Tim.
Oh.
Good thing there's medicines to clear up what I give. But I'm a giver anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after your big promotion, or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. Well, you put a nice price tag on your stories, now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car is truly worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof? Watch as they bump up your value. High mileage? You already knew that was going to cost you, but now you know how much it dings your wallet, so you can plan ahead. Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in just minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So, when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer may not be available in all areas. All right, Tim. Are you ready for a few more stories?
I'm ready.
We've got just a handful left. And here we go. Hey, Dave and Tim.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Matt, and I'm a huge fan of the show. A courier for a local company here in Minnesota, and I usually listen to the podcast while I'm working. One day, when I was on my route, I was listening to the show, and a vehicle with Darkness radio stickers drove up alongside me. I wanted to open my window and say, hey, I'm listening to Beyond the Darkness, but I didn't want to seem like a weirdo.
Why?
Yeah, Tim loves that. Yeah. You could have just followed him straight to his house over at 314.
No.
Well, I was just curious if he was in the right area, Tim. Well, I mean, if I give him the address, he'll know and then say, oh, yeah, that was Tim. Or maybe he was following me. I don't know. Could be.
He could follow you. Don't get weird about it. I mean, I don't need people following
you. I don't think I was the one being weird about it. You are. You're bizarre.
I have
two stories that I'd like to share with you.
I was going to say, I don't have details on my car anymore. I need more.
Oh. So,
yeah.
Shit, he was following me.
Yeah, he's following me.
So,
yeah.
I don't like to be noticed. That's why I have a license plate with darkness and
Yeah. You're all and tatted up on your vehicle. Yeah.
Yeah, I like to I like to low profile it.
Mm-hmm.
I have two stories that I would like to share with you. Tim, I feel a little bit of an impromptu theater of the mind coming on. Are you ready to make some sound effects with your noises and your mouth and your hands and feet, perhaps?
I shall cup my underarm appropriately.
The first of them was when I was 12 years old. I was obsessed with the Jay Leno show. And because I had no TV in my room, I slept downstairs in our living room. I would usually fall asleep before I could turn the television off. So either my sister or my dad would have to come downstairs and turn the television off for me. Well, that's it. That was the best one you had, huh?
Well, I could do the Jay Leno way.
Yeah, maybe just stick with the off button.
Yeah.
On one of those occasions, I woke up noticing that the living room was completely dark, except for the man standing in the corner. He was a tall man wearing a flannel jacket. And a hunting cap. He was looking into the mirror that we had hanging up in our living room.
Well, how old are you?
I thought I must be dreaming, so I closed my eyes. As I opened them back up, the figure was still there. Now I was scared out of my wits. Maybe a little whimpering or whining or something. Now I was scared out of my wits. So I kept closing and opening my eyes, hoping that the figure would disappear. Tim, I don't think that's the sound of eyes opening and closing.
No, it's not.
The figure did not disappear. Instead, it drew closer to me. Becoming absolutely terrified, I decided to close my eyes and try to go back to sleep. You need to oil up those eyelids, sir.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought this would work, but I woke up the next morning and the figure was gone. Years later, I talked to my mom about the encounter, and she asked me what the man looked like. I gave her the description, and she said, "That was your grandfather."
Mm-hmm.
Is that a grandfather noise right there?
No, it's more like, "Hurr."
My grandpa had died in the house when I was very little. My mom would always tell me how much I looked like my grandpa. She would also tell me that since I was his first grandson, he couldn't wait to take me fishing or do all the other things that grandparents like to do with their grandchildren. After hearing this information, I was no longer scared, but believed that he was just there looking out for me. Or was he? Was he indeed? added that part. Damn, it's transitionary and it's complex, so it causes some tension and scary nature when you do that.
So wait a minute, he showed up way too early to get you up to go fishing or hunting?
Yeah, well, you know how grandparents are. They want you to get up before it's even light. Jeez. To go out there fishing. Anyway, we got another story. Let me get back to it here.
I tell him just to have a drink and go back to bed.
Tim, you have another story.
Oh, okay. All right, fine.
Sorry. The second story may have been a ghostly experience or just a case of a young teenager indulging in things that they shouldn't have been. After enjoying a night out with my friends, joyriding in the country, and enjoying some funny cigarettes, I made my way home. My room was located upstairs, next to my parents' room, and they had turned in for the night.
Shut up, Larry, you're so damn loud. Oh, how am I going to ever sleep with that goddamn snoring?
I was going to enter my room when I turned and saw that my dog, Molly, was laying outside my parents' room. I say my dog, Molly, was laying outside my parents' room.
I don't know what the sound effect for a dog laying outside.
This was odd because she usually slept with them.
Oh.
So I walked over to pet her and let her know that she could sleep with me tonight.
Hey, now.
I shouldn't put the inflection on it like that. That sounded a little
naughty. Sick. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. She was my bitch tonight.
Hey.
As I was getting to the dog, I called out, "Come on, Molly. Come on, girl. Let's go to bed." She stayed laying there. I walked over and knelt down to pet her. My hand went straight through the dog and hit the floor. All just like that dog was gone. Molly was a German Shepherd mix. We also had a dog named Alex who was a German Shepherd mix, but he was never allowed in the house. I don't know if what I saw that night was the ghost of a past dog or what it was. Maybe it was an astral projection of the dog. Thanks for reading my stories. I truly enjoy the show and appreciate how you fellers approach everything with an open mind. Thanks. That comes from Matt in St. Cloud. Thanks, Matt in St. Cloud.
Thanks, Matt.
Hello, Mr. Dave. I have a possessed life. I don't know, turning into Sean Connery there.
That's right.
Hello, Mr. Dave. I have a possessed life. And this is even weirder because her name is Maggie that wrote to me.
Hmm.
My life doll that I have locked in my closet, it moves when me and my sister don't even touch it. We want to get rid of it because I don't like paranormal stuff, but my sister does. My dad told me that you have a collection of possessed or haunted dolls, so I was wondering if you will send a shipping address to send the doll to add to your collection. Please let me know soon because I can't stand it moving because of the legend of the moving doll Robert. And since the movie Chucky came out. Thank you very much, Maggie Middleton. Maggie, why don't you just package it up and send it to Tim? He'll get it to me. His address is 314.
Dave. My last name's not Zaffis. I don't collect shit at my house. You give her your address.
Tim, she wants to send it to us, and I've got kids and a family to protect. You live in a ramshackle tent down by the river.
No, but you're the one who's...
314.
Hey.
What?
You're the one storing shit in your garage and stuff.
One packed up, Tim.
You're the one who...
My life doll. She's almost full-sized, Tim.
Hey, she didn't say the doll had orifices. I'm not taking it.
Let's see if the devil's the only thing inside that doll. I will send you an address, Maggie, and I will be happy to take your damn possessed doll. Because, well, why not? Hey, Dave and Tim. My name is Adam, and I'm from the Chicago area. 2019 has been a rough year. First, my girlfriend's grandmother died, and then my own mom suddenly. I recently started working overnight, so I've been catching up on older episodes of Beyond the Darkness, and I was having a particularly hard night. And then Parashare 184 comes on, and I hear Tim talking about the man who was sexually assaulted by a leprechaun. Now, sexual assault isn't funny, but this had me laughing so hard. Thank you guys for always picking me up when I'm down. Now, for the advice. I love everything paranormal and would love nothing more than to make a living in this field.
That's funny.
He wants to make a living in the paranormal.
You know what? You're more likely to bump into a Bigfoot seducing a unicorn in a field of leprechauns than make money in the field of the paranormal. I'm going to be honest with you.
And have a leprechaun filming it. Just yes. Saying. Yeah.
Chupacabra does all the filming, Tim.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Chupacabra went to art school, Tim.
Yeah, that's true.
He knows visual representation.
That's right. And he knows all the angles.
Where would you guys recommend starting? I've gone on a few investigations, have some books and a bunch of gear. Just not sure where I can go from here. Thanks for doing what you guys do. I'm definitely going to try and make it to one of your events sometime soon. And that comes from Adam. Adam, listen, my friend, making money in the paranormal field is very hard. Right now is probably your easiest bet. Keep watching my social media and Tim's social media, because there are a bunch of TV programs looking for paranormal investigators. And from time to time, we post those links. So that would be your quickest and best opportunity. I will tell you this. Look up Pilgrim Films. They're the ones that did Ghost Hunters. They're filming a couple of brand new paranormal programs that are going to be on a couple of different networks. So you might be able to contact them directly at Pilgrim Films and just let them know that you're interested in being a part of a program. That's going to be the best advice I have for you. Otherwise, just keep watching our social media pages as we post those from time to time, and that'll get the information out to you. You can follow Tim at Dr. Tim Dennis on Twitter. That's at Dr. Tim Dennis on Twitter. And what's your Facebook account, Tim?
That's a good question. It's something weird like Tim Dennis 737, but I'm going to switch it up so that you guys have easier access to it. Yeah. But you can access it through the Darkness Radio website. It's
soon you'll be able to find Tim at Thunder Dick.
Yes.
Dennis.
Yeah, Thunder Dick Dennis. Yeah, I think I'll change it to that.
To find you.
Yeah,
Thunder Dick Dennis.
That would be awesome. I think I will change it to that. Yeah.
Why don't you be a wrestler with the name Thunder Dick Dennis?
Because I'd never get booked anywhere.
Sure you would. Hey, if there are any wrestling promoters out there that would like Tim to be on their card as Thunder Dick Dennis, just give him a call at 612.
Hey, wait. Everything's done by email these days. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But let's get it quick. What if you miss the opportunity? So it's easier if they just call 612.
No, Dave. I look at my email a few times a day.
I almost gave out a phone number there. You took a long pause before you stopped me that time, son. Be careful. All right, fine. That's it. There's really, you luck into it. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. People think Tim and I make a lot of money doing this. Tim?
Yeah.
What's your answer? Do you guys make a lot of money doing this?
No.
We've been at it 13 years, and I would say it roughly equates to about $11 an hour.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's making money in the paranormal field.
Yeah,
but it's not making money in the paranormal field. Just be who you are and look for opportunities. That's all I can really tell you. But that's it. That's all I got for today. Tomorrow, Tim, we're back with documentarian and filmmaker D. Something or other. Macaulay.
Thank God.
D. Macaulay. We're close friends, me and D. I
was going to say.
D is going to be on tomorrow talking about Bigfoot.
Don't say what? D. Snyder.
No, not D. Snyder. We'll be back with D. McCullough. What the hell? McCully.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know why the name is messing with me. D. McCully tomorrow. We'll be talking about Bigfoot and UFO sightings in Canada and some really weird, dramatic stories, including Grand Theater of the Mind. Finally, I think I've had this story for a way to use this story. And trust me, whether you enjoy the guest or not, tomorrow's Theater of the Mind is not to be missed. So make sure you check it out here on the best in paranormal talk radio. For that guy, I'm this guy. You've been listening to that show because, well, you love us and we love you. We'll see you again tomorrow right here on Beyond the Darkness.